I am not a patient person. If I was going to make a list of the virtues that I need to grow the most in, that would always be at the top of the list. And it seems even as I get older, I continue to struggle with being a patient person. To really develop that virtue in my life, to try to grow in it, to see how it can affect other people, my family, friends, is something that I still need work in. I need to continue to grow in patience. Patience is not the ability to wait. Rather, it's the ability to keep a good attitude while waiting. You know, there's times we just have to wait. There's nothing we can do about it. And maybe we're steaming inside, we're getting angry, the rage is just building. Patience is keeping a positive attitude while waiting. Patience is the calm acceptance that things can happen in a different order than the one that you have in mind. Now, how hard is this to master? How hard is this to accept in our lives? It has been said that a man who masters patience masters everything else. Patience attracts happiness. We want that. It brings near that which is far. Unfortunately for me, patience is often far from me. It is an area that I need to grow in. It is a powerful virtue, a conquering virtue. But when I evaluate my life, I seem to always fall short in this area. It always falls into that category of needs improvement. Ever had that on a report card? Needs improvement. That's where I stand with patience. But this is what God expects of us, right? He expects us to grow. He expects us to mature, to develop, to improve, to just get better. Do we set out to do this spiritually? Do we have a focused mindset where we are intentionally setting out to grow in an area where we might be weak? Are we intentional about our spiritual development? We invest ourselves into bettering ourselves academically. How many hours through the years have we spent studying different subjects just so we can improve ourselves academically? We invest ourselves into improving ourselves athletically. How many practices, how many individual workouts have we invested ourselves or invested ourselves with our kids to help them improve athletically? We are so intentional about many areas in our life. Are we intentional about our spiritual growth? An older minister interviewed for a preaching job late in his career. He was speaking with the leaders of the church, and they were asking him questions about his experiences and his qualifications. And at this point in the minister's life, he had been through many interviews. He had heard the questions. He pretty much knew what to expect. And everything that he was asked in this particular interview, he was waiting for. Until one elder asked him a question that kind of took him off guard. The question was this: do you still study? The elder, he wanted to know if this minister was still growing. Are you still growing? Are you still investing yourself in God's word? Or are you just relying on old faded outlines? You know, this will be the question of the hour today. Don't panic, just 30 minutes. Be patient. The question we're going to look at is, am I growing spiritually? Let's examine a big challenge from Peter, a man who knows what spiritual growth looks like. If there's anybody in the Bible who stands out for us as an example of spiritual growth, if there's anybody who we can look at that is an example of what's possible for us, it's this man. Picking up in verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We look at these words and we see how big of a challenge this is. Do we understand that what we're looking at here was on display in the life of Peter? When you look at his life when he first met Jesus, to where he ended up, to the point where he's writing this, we're able to look inside the heart of a man who went through this process, who developed these virtues. Just like with us, we could look at Peter's life and we could point out areas where he needed to grow. And for Peter's life, I think patience is one of the virtues he needed to grow in. Now, what is God instructing us about spiritual growth? What is he telling us that can help us in this journey? Well, God expects it. There's just some things that God expects of us, and this is one of them. He expects us to grow. I believe one of the saddest things to see is to look at a church or to look at individual Christians over a span of 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and to see no growth, to see no development. And that happens. It happens to us individually, where we can look at ourselves last year. Where was I at spiritually? And we look at ourselves today, and we're the same. Or maybe we've gone backwards. Instead of growing, instead of developing ourselves spiritually. In 2 Peter 3:18, Peter writes, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior." In Colossians 1, verse 28, Paul, he labored. He labored for the cause of helping other Christians mature. And in Hebrews 5, verse 12, we see a group of Christians who were rebuked because they were spiritual infants, spiritual babies. They had not grown up. You know, the message from the fishermen in the text is to grow. I want you to notice this word supplement here in verse 5. Why do people take supplements? Isn't it to grow? We take vitamins and supplements so that our body can build itself up. You see this word that just saturates this text. The word penetrates through this entire message. Supplement your faith with virtue. Supplement your virtue with self-control. Supplement your self-control with steadfastness. Supplement your steadfastness with godliness. And then just keep adding on. Add to your steadfastness brotherly affection. And then supplement that with love. This is like shopping at GNC, at least before they went bankrupt. They have all these supplements that we just need to add to our life. You know, doing these things will have an end result. There is a result for growing, and there is a result if we don't grow. If we grow, we're going to be useful to God. If we grow, we're not going to forget our salvation. We're not going to forget that moment when our sins were washed away. If we grow, we're going to be effective for the kingdom. If we grow in these virtues, there's a promise from Peter that we'll never fall. That entrance into heaven will be abundantly supplied to us. That's quite a list. That's quite an effect. If we just go through the process of growing up spiritually. As I look at my own life, I hope I am more useful to God now than I was 20 years ago. I hope I am a better husband now than I was 5 years ago. I hope I'm a better dad now than I was 1 year ago. I hope there's growth in my life that people can see, that people can notice. It all comes down to whether or not I'm growing. Spiritual growth is not automatic. It takes discipline, it takes training, it takes practice. It's a lifelong process. We can never proclaim we're at the top of the mountain. This morning, I want to challenge us in one particular area. This word in verse 6, steadfastness. Other translations use the word perseverance. You can also find the word patient endurance. Patience is the most accurate translation of the word that Peter uses here. It's also probably the word or phrase that most speaks to us. The word has a deeper meaning than waiting at a stoplight without throwing a fit, although sometimes we need that lesson. The word has a background of courage. And I hope that comes to the forefront as we make our way through our lesson this morning. I hope you're able to see the courage that being a patient person involves. I want you to consider this thought. Patient endurance is the voluntary and daily suffering of hard and difficult things for the sake of honor and usefulness. God is not asking us to simply accept and endure. The word actually pushes our vision forward. God is trying to lift our sights above this world, above the things that we're going through. It is said of Jesus by the writer of Hebrews that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. That's the full meaning of this virtue, to go through a difficult time and to have the right mindset, to have the right attitude. It is the courageous acceptance of everything that life can do to us in the transforming of even the worst event into another step in God's direction. Now, if we look at the life of Christ, there's a lot to examine. But if we were just going to focus in on the most difficult hour of Jesus' life, I believe all of us would say the cross. The events leading up to the cross, his crucifixion itself, everything that he went through. And the writer of Hebrews takes all of that, everything that Jesus went through, everything that he endured, and he describes it with the word joy, the joy that was set before him. The worst event in the life of Christ was viewed as joy, and this is why. Now listen to this. Jesus could view everything that he went through at Calvary with joy because it was another step towards God. It was hard. It was difficult. Perhaps the most difficult step Jesus ever took in his life, but it was another step towards God. There will be times in our life when moving towards God is easy. When we want to take that step, we're just running, we're just moving along like Brett. Just got a spring in our step. I went jogging with Brett once, only once. And I'm laboring. Every step is hurting. And he's like Tigger. He's just bouncing. I'm like, how in the world does this guy do this? There are times when we're moving along spiritually like Brett. And there are other times when it looks like me running. When every step hurts. Every step is painful. But you're still moving towards God. We've had some painful steps these past few months. But through the hardship, through the difficulties, it's provided us opportunities to draw closer to God, to be reminded of things that really matter. Patience is the ability to endure when stuff is tough, when circumstances are difficult, without losing sight of heaven. I read something this week that really grabbed my attention. Barna, they do a lot of religious surveys. And recently they've done some surveys connected to COVID to just see where people are at in their faith, to see where people are at spiritually. And of course, when they do a survey, it's the broad sense of the word Christian that they're using. But they found in their survey that since our country shut down initially, that a third of Christians no longer worship in person or online. They just dropped off. And they're going through life week by week, now month by month, with no worship in their life. When we go through difficulties, there's probably going to be a reaction for us. And spiritually, we're either going to draw near to God or we're going to move away from Him. I hope when we struggle, and we're going to struggle, it reminds us of how much we need God. This life is short. Whether we live here on earth a short time or whether we live for 90 years, that's short. Everything here is temporary. And as we go through struggles, and some of you have gone through struggles that I've never faced, I hope we can do so without losing sight of heaven. Now, how rare is this? Where can we find this type of person? You probably heard this little saying, patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Found seldom in a woman, never in a man. Where can we find this type of person that can patiently endure, that can go through hardships, that can go through difficulties without losing sight of God, without losing sight of heaven? I don't know what you think about patience, but to me, it's the rarest thing under the sun. I have met only a few people that I would describe as patient. At some point, it seems that everybody's patience breaks down. Moses was called the meekest of men, and no doubt he held up wonderfully under a lot of provocations. But his patience gave way more than once. He broke the table of commandments in his haste. And he lost his patience when he struck the rock, when he should have simply spoken to it as God directed. Job has been called the most patient of men. But even Job, under the torment of his painful disease and under the poor influence of his friends and his wife, lost his patience and cursed his day. And then there's Philip, me. Patient would not be a characteristic of this sinful man. There has never been a patient man on earth, save one. We can accurately say that everyone, all of us, we need to grow in this virtue. I'm going to give you a process of growth. If you're taking notes, write these three words down. The first one is submission. There are three stages in the exercise of patience. First, it is simple submission to the will of God under disappointment, under suffering, no matter what we're going through. It's a simple submission to the will of God when things are great. It's a simple submission to God when things are not so great. It's best captured in the words of Jesus in the garden when he said, "Your will be done." There are some phrases in Scripture that we wrestle with. At times we wrestle with the meaning of the text. What exactly is God saying to us? What is he wanting us to do? At other times, we wrestle with the living out of the text. When we look at Jesus' words in the Garden of Agony, when he said to God, "Your will be done," we know what that means, right? When Jesus is praying to his Father and he proclaims to his Lord, when he proclaims to his God that your will be done, we know what Jesus meant. It means elevating someone else above ourselves. It means wanting to go left, but instead choosing to go right. It means choosing the path of suffering over the path of ease. It just simply means choosing God's way over our way. We know what the words mean, but still yet we wrestle with actually living them out in our life. And we see Jesus wrestling in the garden, Jesus being tempted by Satan to go a different direction. And that wrestling match is now ours. And day by day, we struggle to truly elevate God's will above our own. The first stage in the exercise of patience is submission to God. The next word you need to write down is perseverance. The relation between temperance and patience is evident here as Peter challenges these Christians to grow. We could describe temperance in this way. Temperance is the grace of holding back. We're not seeing that a lot in our nation today. People want to be on the attack. People want vengeance. Temperance is the grace of holding back. And there are times when we need to hold back. Patience is the grace of holding on. There are times when we need to hold on. A few years ago, our family went with the kites down to Lake Texoma, and we were out on the boat, and I was on the inner tube. And Dan was trying to throw me off the inner tube. And it was my mission in life to hold on no matter what. And I was not going to let go of that inner tube, no matter what. At least until my swimsuit fell off. And at that point, I was actually upside down on the inner tube, still holding on, refusing to let go. But then I decided, if I flip back over, this is not going to be good for anybody. It was time to let go. Spiritually, we need that stubbornness. When we're going through difficult times, we're just being bombarded left and right with messages to let go. Let go. Let go of God. Let go of your faith. What good is it doing you anyway? Look at what you're having to go through now. And so we get bombarded by Satan, and he's just shouting in our ear, let go. Now's the time to let go. You've held on for 20 years, but now let go. Guys, there's never a good time to let go of God. Satan is doing everything in his power to convince us to let go. Trials, temptations, disappointments, guilt, shame, fear, doubt, failures. The list, it seems endless. And sometimes even our brothers and sisters in Christ, when they disappoint us, when they don't perform up to the expectations that we have, sometimes even our brothers and sisters in Christ might cause us to want to let go. Patience begins with submitting to God. It continues with perseverance. Don't let go. These Christians were going through a lot of hard stuff. Try to go back to the first century and live for God. That's who Peter's addressing. Christians who were living in the first century under the authority of Rome. And he's telling them to patiently endure. Guys, just hold on to your faith. Hold on to God. I know it's tough. I know it's difficult. But Peter understands the other side of it. The benefit of holding on. And then the final stage, third word you can write down is faith. We start with submission, we persevere, and then we take action. That's faith, isn't it? The active quality of patience is shown in faith in God. It's that forward view, that forward thinking, when even though we're in the middle of something really tough, we don't forget about God. We don't forget about heaven. It's not merely passive endurance. It contains an ingredient of active service. On Wednesday night, we've been studying through Hebrews chapter 11. And in Hebrews chapter 11, we learned that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And week by week, we've been challenged by these individual people, the lives that they lived, the example that they are to us. And all of them are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 because they took action. And we can look at all of their lives and we can see the struggles that they went through. Noah, he went through struggles. The entire world around him was wicked. Abel, we're going to learn about this Wednesday night. He had some struggles. His brother killed him. But Hebrews 11 is the context of people doing stuff for God. Abel worshiped, Noah built, Abraham traveled, he sacrificed, he believed, Joseph forgave, Moses led, Daniel prayed. We could go on and on and on. All of these people, they're in Hebrews chapter 11 because they did stuff. We need to do stuff for God. Faith is about trust. Can you see how this connects with patience? Do we trust God? Now, this is where it gets hard. We're not talking about waiting in a long line at Walmart when the guy up in front of us has 68 items in the line that can only have 10. I'm not talking about that. Do we trust God enough to endure through the struggles of life? Do we trust God enough to love others the way Jesus loved? Do we trust God enough to wait patiently for the return of His Son? Faith is no mental abstraction. It's tied in the closest way to the behavior that it evokes in us. Neither feeding the hungry nor putting the Lord on in baptism can be separated from the faith that underlies the action. The same can be said of patience. It's the quality that gets us through discouragements. It's the quality that pulls us back from temptations. It enables us to keep going, to hold on. When you look at all of the people, all of the men and women in Hebrews 11, not only did they take action, but they did so because they were looking for something better, a better situation, a better city, a better country, a better place. They were willing to wait. Here's that word. They were willing to patiently endure for something better. I envision first century Christians eagerly anticipating the return of the Lord. Perhaps their struggles and life situations made them long for that moment much more than we do. Maybe their daily persecutions caused them to continually look and to long for something better. I can't speak for you, but recent events have helped me remember there's something better than this. There has to be something better than this, right? There has to be something better than the unrest we face. There has to be something better than the frailties of life. There has to be something better than the continual battles with trials and temptations and diseases and conflicts and pain and suffering. And don't you think there's people out there in the world that are also thinking that? There has to be something better than this. And that's why we endure. That's why we patiently endure. That's why we submit to God. It's why we persevere. It's why we hold on to the faith. I can't list every struggle that you're facing right now, but I do know without a doubt, there's something better than this. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with others. Be patient with God. He will deliver on His promises. All of the promises, we haven't even got into that here in this text. The promises that God gives us, He's going to deliver. Let's just make sure we respond appropriately to this fact. I'm glad we have a Savior who's patient with us. And it's through Jesus Christ that we can have all of our sins washed away. There have been many, many times when I've looked back on my life and I've thought, Jesus, why didn't you give up on me? How could you be patient with me through all this? But I'm so glad He did. And still yet this morning, He is patient. And you have another opportunity to get your life right because of Him. If we can help you by being baptized into Christ, we want to do that. If we could pray for you to encourage you in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and sing together.